This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We are talking about World Intellectual Property Day today. And this year's World Intellectual Property Day is themed IP and Youth, Innovating for a Better Future. Correct, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Goran, do you want to carry on?
Yeah. So in order to recognize, celebrate and discover young talents who are leading and reshaping better solutions as we charge towards creating a more sustainable future, that's the whole point of the theme. And change is not necessarily focused on one specific industry, but it could be anything, right? Art, science, business, technology, wherever the ambitions of the youths lie. But what can make a better difference is making youths involved in understanding what intellectual property rights can do for them and their innovations.
But first, for those of you that might be thinking, what is intellectual property? Let's give you a little bit of a background. Intellectual property, according to the WIPO, is the creation of our minds, such as artworks, inventions, designs, symbols, and domain names. And how can you protect your intellectual properties? First, we must understand that in law, intellectual properties are divided into three common types here in Malaysia: trademarks, patents, and copyrights. So, number one, trademarks. They're there to protect you if you run a business. So trademarks are things like words, phrases, and symbols for your business brand and identity that differentiate you from others in your industry. For an example, company and product names, slogans, logos, and brand colors. Dr. Viraj Pereira, CEO of Platcom Ventures in Dirham Bahad, wrote in the Malay Mail that trademark registrations are national in scope, and trademark registration in Malaysia gives the owner the exclusive right to use the mark throughout Malaysia in association with the wares and or services covered by the registration. A Malaysian trademark registration is also valid for 10 years and is renewable for a further 10-year period.
Uh-huh. And then you've got patents. So patents are for our dear scientists, inventors and engineers out there. So they're granted for inventions. And under this umbrella, there are utility patents, which is a patent for tangible inventions. So like products, machines, devices, composite materials, useful processes. Then you've got design patents, which is the ornamental designs on manufactured products. And then you've got plant patents, so new varieties of plants. And the inventions that can be patented must be quote-unquote novel. And generally in Malaysia, the term for a patent is 20 years, starting from the date of filing of the application. Note that patents registered in other countries must be separately sought and obtained.
Didn't know you could patent a plant.
I guess it makes sense, though, if you like crossbreed something or, you know.
But I've learned something new today. Now, copyrights. If you're an artist, musician, writer, performer, or a software engineer, you might want to look into copyright. So copyrights grant you legal rights to anything you create that expresses or embodies an idea. It doesn't have to be unique or creative, but there must be some intellectual effort in skill and judgment. Copyright empowers you to profit from your creative assets. You can sell your copyrighted assets and lease them in exchange for license fees and royalties. However, trade secrets, quote unquote, are not protected by the laws of intellectual property in Malaysia unless they come under the category of confidential information. Trade secrets are not eligible to be registered as an intellectual property, but they are still protected under laws of contract if you have an agreement with the person who exploited your trade secret.
So you may be wondering, you know, how does this all apply to you? Well, if you've just identified that any of your assets fall under any of these categories of intellectual property, you can start making plans to secure this intellectual property now. And this is because if you have some great idea for a product or a service or a design or, you know, whatever, there's probably going to be some people who might want to duplicate those ideas and successes. And in this case, imitation is not the finest form of flattery. We even did a show a little bit ago discussing how, you know, there were some local fashion designers' products and their designs that were copied, including even their websites as well, right? And besides, if you're a small business, it's actually even more necessary to protect these assets for your business growth in the long run. Most importantly, the process is easier than you think. And on average, Registration for an intellectual property is only 155 ringgit, according to Malaysia's Intellectual Property Corporation portal.
So Ramakrishna Damodaran, Managing Director of Adipven, Sundari Mihad, a leading IP consultancy and commercialization firm in our region, told The Edge Markets that, quote, only one third of patent applications in Malaysia are filed by local companies. The rest are filed by foreigners and foreign business entities, which means we're still importing technologies. The reason for Malaysians to look into IP as a tool is to improve our standing internationally and later convert the IP into monetary value. Ramakrishna admitted that it's difficult since creating is one thing, but commercializing or making people accept your invention is a different ballgame altogether. In short, register your intellectual property if you can. Remember, no one else will check to see if your intellectual property has been infringed. It's your responsibility to ensure that no one else is using your assets. Mm. Now, more on this, we'll be speaking to Geeta Kandia, Director of CAS International Sundari Mihad, one of ASEAN's leading IP consultancy firms, after the break. Me and Chris are going to take a breather, but we are going to play you some music from the Rolling Stones with Get Off My Cloud. And if you want to get in touch with us regarding this, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a mo here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites, folks. I'm Rich Bradbury and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Today we're talking about World Intellectual Property Day. It's themed IP and youth innovating for a better future. So we do have somebody on the phone, actually. We will be speaking in just one moment to Geeta Kandia, Director of CAS International Sundari Mihad, one of ASEAN's leading IP consultancy firms. Geeta, thank you very much for being on the phone line with us. Now, just to give us a little bit of an insight. What is the significance of World IP Day?
Thanks, BFM, for having me over to share the significance of World Intellectual Property Day. This special day, World IP Day, is celebrated on April 26th every year. And it was created back in 2000 by the World Intellectual Property Organization that created this special day for two reasons. Firstly, to raise awareness on how patents, copyrights, trademarks, designs, and other types of intellectual property rights impact our daily life. And the second reason is to celebrate creativity, innovation, and contributions made by artists, inventors, creators to various kinds of inventions and products and art. And this then develops society, nation, and impacts humankind across the globe.
Mm. And earlier before the break, of course, Geeta, we were talking a little bit about the differences between the different kinds of intellectual property and, you know, why it's important to actually secure those assets. Well, do you think that Malaysian companies actually know enough about the importance of IPs?
I've been in the industry for the past 17 years. So I would definitely say that Malaysian companies and Malaysian business owners have definitely increased their awareness in the past two decades. When I first started, many were not aware of what trademarks are, or patents and designs, and how it can be advantageous to their business. How they can actually use it as a tool to move in the market and gain more market share. But over time, I find that more and more Malaysians know about IP and are actually creating more intellectual property rights in their businesses. So it has improved. Having said that, there are about 1.2 million SMEs in Malaysia, based on estimates by the Department of Statistics. With 1.2 million SMEs, and take into consideration that they are innovating and putting products or services out there in the market, there should be trademarks or brands being used, new brands being used, or design and technology being created, right? The statistics in the country shows that there are 30,000 trademarks filed annually and about 8,000 patents filed. Out of the 30,000 trademarks, 50% or 15,000 trademarks are by locals. And out of the 8,000 patents, about 1,500 patents are filed by locals. So you can see that in terms of the statistics of how many trademarks are filed and how many patents are filed, the volume isn't a lot. So that then reflects on awareness is not as much as in the Western world. So there are a lot of room for growth.
So what falls under the purview of IP then? How is it distinguished from a trademark or license? Or are they the same thing?
Intellectual property is an umbrella term for various types of rights. The easiest way to explain what is intellectual property is the words themselves. It's property of the intellectual mind. So the ideas that we all have that's put into substance, and then we come in and we protect that substance, because that substance, that thing that you've created from that idea, is yours. It is your property. What does it entail? Well, intellectual property rights comprise of trademarks, which are for brands, any brands that anyone creates. Then you have designs of products, the outer look of a product, the shape, the ornamentation. Then you have copyright that protects literary work, artistic work, music, art, broadcasting, performance, various things. Copyright is vast. Then you have patents. Patents protects technology. It could be a new product or an improvement to an existing product. It could be a new process or an improvement to an existing process. That's protected by patent rights or utility innovation rights, which is like a sister to patents. Then you have plant variety rights, geographical indications, trade secrets, and more. The main four types of intellectual property rights are trademarks, design rights, copyrights, and patents. So those are intellectual property rights. License is different. Licensing is the permission to use intellectual property rights. So when a company licenses trademarks, it means that another party, a third party, has rights to use someone else's brand, and they have to pay a fee, a license fee, to use the brand. Mm-hmm. So that is where business owners can actually earn passive income from licensing their intellectual property rights to other parties.
Got it. Okay. Geeta, can you just stay on the line for us, please? We're going to take a short break. We are on the phone with Geeta Kandia. She's the director of CAS International Sundari and Bihad, one of ASEAN's leading IP consulting firms. Thanks, Chris, for not interrupting me. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. We've got some music from R.E.M. with I Believe, followed by a little bit of Ash with Girls from Mars. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're talking about World Intellectual Property Day 2022 today. The theme is IP and Youth, Innovating for a Better Future. Just before we get back to Geeta, who's been waiting patiently on the line for us, we had a question come in via WhatsApp from Anwar.
We did, yes. And the question is, can you protect a cake recipe? Now, this led us on an interesting little
rabbit hole
during the break. And this is actually from the CAS's website. So this is from Geeta's organization. Now, basically, it says here on this article that recipes are actually a very complicated issue. Obviously, recipes are the unique selling point of, for example, you know, any F&B business. So if you're trying to patent your recipes, for example, now, it says the recipe itself, as in the list of ingredients and the method of cooking used to combine the ingredients, can be protected by way of patents if and only if the recipe is new. This means that no equal recipe should have been published before or used before worldwide, and the owner of the recipe has not revealed the ingredients and the method to produce the special food item to anyone on a non-confidential basis. So I think it's like, if you can prove beyond reasonable doubt that this is a totally unique cake recipe and you haven't like told anyone about it, mm-hmm. then maybe, but it's a very gray area.
It got us talking about things like the KFC recipe, the secret sauce on some of the big burger brands, and even stuff like, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi stuff, all of these things.
Like, how have they, you know, made their secret formula secret?
Trade secrets. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, thank you for messaging in.
Yeah, thanks for that. Okay, folks, if you have any questions or topics you want to discuss, get us via WhatsApp. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, we are at BFM Radio. Now, of course, we still have Geeta on the line with us right now. Geeta, we've got a few questions with you before we let you go. And Chris, you wanted to pick up this one, right?
Yeah. So obviously, as we mentioned before, this year's theme is IP and youth innovating for a better future. So actually, how do youths come into this picture, I guess?
The youth today have more exposure, have more information, have more opportunities because of this information. And that is reflected in the startup world. You know, the dot-com bloom of how young founders are creating new products that the market needs, are creating new ones in the industry and making it big. And that opportunity comes from exposure and information. So the theme IP and youth innovating for a better future is a great theme for this day and age. It brings out the awareness that, hey, we need to focus on the youth because the youth are a large portion of the population that can be tapped into. There are 1.8 billion young people aged 24, based on the statistics by the World Intellectual Property Organization, and 90% of them live in developing countries. A huge portion of young people under 35 are said to be increasing in the coming years. So when you look at the youth in this age group, they are the ones that will be driving innovation and change for their society and nation. Also, the youth today are not afraid to speak up. They challenge the status quo. And with that kind of attitude, that is a characteristic of an innovator. The topic will actually bring out our attention and awareness to how can we help? How can we enable and how can we empower the youth in this drive to create more innovation that is helpful to people? Also, that theme will also drive policymakers to listen to the needs and concerns of these young individuals. It also enables us to look into associations, webinars, and topics that can create more opportunities for youths.
Okay. Can you break something down for me a little bit and give me some examples? You know, it's been said that creators and entrepreneurs can use intellectual property, IP, and their rights to achieve goals, generate income, create jobs, tackle local and global challenges, and support community and national development. Just break this down a little bit for us, could you please?
Intellectual property rights, as I had mentioned before, are monopolistic rights. So creators and entrepreneurs are not creating intellectual property rights just for generating income and creating jobs. It's not the focus. The benefits of intellectual property rights, which is entrepreneurs get to achieve their goals, generate income, create jobs, and so on, are the byproducts of intellectual property rights. The benefits are the byproducts because intellectual property rights are created when on entrepreneurs actually trying to solve a problem in the market. And when they are removing a pain point in the industry and they're removing that by solving that problem, naturally the business will thrive because there is innovation giving a solution to the public. But it all comes down to the solution that the entrepreneur is putting in the marketplace for which they have monopolistic rights. So an example, a classic example is taking us way back in the 18th century, the development of the steam engine technology. From that innovation, which is IP rights, intellectual property rights, steam engines were put to use in factories, enabling mass production. They were put to use in the transportation on railways, enabling faster transportation, right? That allows us to entrepreneurs to produce and sell their goods and services in new markets with new business models. That itself shows how an example, a real life example of intellectual property rights benefiting humankind, right? Not just on a small scale, on a large scale. Bringing us back to this day and age, looking at transportation this day and age, Uber. Uber generates income not just for their own human resource, not just for their own staff. Uber generates income for anyone who wants to pick up private driving as a part-time job. That's a great way to generate income. And that's from a technology as well. That's from all the apps that they have created, the software behind, which is protected by copyright or patents.
Okay. So final question for you, Geeta, is look, we see so many copycat cases around the world. I mean, look, just once traipse down Petaling Street and you kind of, it's fairly
clear. I was
clear.
There this weekend, yes.
Yeah, you know, that it's a real problem. So how do you go about enforcing IP rights? I mean, how do you monitor and enforce and protect basic intellectual property, basically?
Enforcement of intellectual property rights is the responsibility of the business owner themselves. The intellectual property right owner has to monitor the market. And this they can find out from distributors, from customers. Very often, that is how a business owner finds out there is infringement in the market. When market share is encroached on, the business owner will find out. Business owners then have to take action. If they do not take action, they are sitting on their rights. And if you sit on your rights, you then pretty much send a message to the world that my intellectual property rights are free for all to use. And that is a dangerous. There's Limitation Act in Malaysia that limits the time period where one needs to actually take action when they find out their intellectual property rights is being infringed. So taking action is important. How do they take action? Well, first step is speak to your lawyers, send a cease and desist letter to the infringing party, asking them to stop infringing, stop their act of infringement. And if that does not work, then they can solve their dispute either in court or by arbitrating or mediating the dispute. So enforcement is possible and there are mechanisms available to enforce and protect their rights. It is just like any other rights and there must be enforcement done. Brand value and the technology value is there when the IP right owner actually enforces their right against wrongdoers.
Okay, interesting. Thanks very much for that, Geeta. Of course, ladies and gents, that was Geeta Kandia, the director of CAS International Sundarian Bahad, one of ASEAN's leading IP consultancy. I've done it again.
Consulting?
Thank you. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know why I'm doing that. Consultancy, consulting. Yeah, anyway. CAS International, that's who it was. Of course, we have been talking about World Intellectual Property Day 2022, how it's all about IP and youth innovating for a better future. If you missed any part of this show, go and download the podcast. You can get it from wherever you normally get it from. We recommend using the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. It's pretty much time for me and Chris to wrap up for today, but don't go anywhere. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. It's been almost 2 months since Russia invaded Ukraine, and despite strong condemnation by a majority of countries around the world, President Vladimir Putin has shown no signs of relenting, while thousands of lives continue to be upended and the global economic situation drags on. The Breakfast Grill will be speaking to Poland's ambassador to Malaysia to get his thoughts on the war in Europe and Poland's position regarding the conflict. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. We've got some music to take us up there from the Eurythmics with Here Comes the Rain Again here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.